When I was visiting my good friends, the Dominican sisters at St. Cecilia's Mother House in Nashville, Tennessee, for the solemn profession of vows last summer, I noticed the sisters have a very unique statue of St. Joseph in their convent chapel. In Joseph's left hand, he's holding a bird cage containing two birds. Two turtle doves, to be precise. And in his right hand, he's holding up a rolled scroll of the law. And I recognized it immediately as the Saint Joseph of the presentation of our Lord in the temple from today's gospel. But I have to honestly admit to you, I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. My elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. I'm about a half a bubble off plumb. And so I open my mouth and I ask the sisters, why this statue of St. Joseph? I mean, why not the normal statue of St. Joseph that everybody has with the lily of purity, with the child Jesus in Joseph's arms? Why not Joseph the worker with his carpenter tools? Why this odd, strange statue of Joseph holding a birdcage with a scroll? And you know the sisters are so polite and so patient. And ignoring my ignorance with the sweetest voice, sister said, well, Father, Mary and Joseph at the presentation represent the three vows we take, poverty, chastity, and obedience. And a light bulb went off in my head. It was an aha moment. Suddenly, it all made sense to me. The two turtle doves represent the poverty of Mary and Joseph. They couldn't afford a large offering. They could only afford the two turtle doves, the poor, humble offering. The scroll of the law represents the obedience of Mary and Joseph, for they present Jesus in the temple in perfect obedience to the law. It's said in today's gospel, they fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord. And Mary and Joseph in their very persons represent chastity, for they're both virgins, totally pure in their body and spirit. And so I'd never thought of it before. It was an aha moment for me. Mary and Joseph at the presentation of our Lord in the temple represent the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And because Mary and Joseph represent these three vows, today, February 2nd, the 40th day of Christmas, is World Day for Consecrated Religious Life. A day when the church honors all nuns and sisters, monks and brothers, and religious order priests who take those vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Later this morning at 11 o'clock at Assisi Heights in Rochester, Bishop Quinn has a special mass for all the nuns, sisters, monks, and brothers in the diocese who have consecrated themselves to the Lord through those vows, poverty, chastity, and obedience, just like Joseph and Mary. Poverty. Think about it. They give God all their possessions. They say, I'm not going to own anything because nothing's mine anyway. Everything is a gift from God. So I'm going to let God be in control of all of my things. And then chastity. It gets a little deeper. They say, I'm going to give God not only my things, I'm going to give God my body. I'm going to consecrate my body to him. I'm going to give God my power that he gave me to bring forth new life. And I'm going to give that to God. And then the most difficult of all, obedience. They give God their will, all their wants and desires. They give up what they want to do for what God wants them to do. Now, as you can imagine, on a day like today, World Day for Consecrated Life, you can imagine that the world thinks they're crazy, thinks they're woohoo, loco, lunatics, I mean, the world says, really? Can anyone live poor, chaste, and obediently? The world says, get as much stuff as you can. Just get as many things as you can. The world laughs at virginity and chastity. Does anyone live as a pure virgin anymore? Really? The world says, just do what you want to do. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't be obedient. Don't be submissive. Don't be subject to anybody else. That's what the world says. What the world can't see is that poverty, chastity, and obedience lead to a better life, lead to a perfect life. The world can only see what consecrated religious give up. But all I can see is what they gain. They give up possessions to gain the richness of Christ. He's the pearl beyond all price. He's the treasure worth selling everything just to have Jesus. They give up intimacy with another human person for intimacy with three divine persons, for intimacy with Jesus, the divine bridegroom. They give up a family, a natural family, and they gain a religious family. Truly, we call them brothers and sisters, because they are to each other. They give up having natural children so they can bring forth spiritual children. They give up their own stubborn wills for the perfect will of the Father and the perfect obedience of His Son. What a glorious witness are our nuns and sisters and monks and brothers. They are indeed the sign that will be contradicted in the world. Can you think for a moment, when was the last time we had a religious sister or brother from our parish? Thinking about Sister Katerina Schutte, she just celebrated 50 years as a religious sister. I'm thinking about Sister Karen Hoffman from Kellogg, from St. Agnes, living here in Wabasha. I'm thinking about Monsignor Robert Meyer. I bet you're thinking about Father Pat Arns, my good friend. Do you know when he entered the seminary? In the fall of 1992. That was his first year of seminary formation, 1992. That's over 20 years ago. When was the last time we had a religious sister or brother or a religious order priest from our parish? I believe that now is the time for a new generation of young people to consecrate themselves to Christ through the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. I know your sons and daughters and your grandchildren, and I can see within so many of them a little seed, a desire that they have to consecrate themselves to Jesus in a radical way. Sadly, not every family encourages their children to join a religious community. Sadly, sometimes parents and grandparents are very much against their children becoming nuns and monks and priests. Back when I was in the seminary in 1996, Pope John Paul II of blessed memory wrote an encyclical called Vita Consecrata, which means consecrated life. And in that document, it's a beautiful, beautiful document, in that document he addresses Christian families. And in typical John Paul II style, he says, I address you, Christian families. Parents, give thanks to the Lord. If he has called one of your children to the consecrated life, I won't do it all in his accent. He says, give thanks, parents, if the Lord has called one of your children to consecrated life. The Pope says, it is to be considered a great honor that the Lord should look upon a family and choose to invite one of its members to set out on the path of the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. So for parents and grandparents, we have to think of this as an incredible honor, a humble honor, and a blessing if God were to call one of your children or grandchildren to religious life. And then to the young people, you know, Pope John Paul II loves young people. All of his time that he spends with World Youth Days and gathering the young, he has a paragraph just to the young people. And so to the young people, I say to you, if you hear the Lord's call, do not reject it. He says, if you hear the Lord's call, don't reject it. Readily accept God's plan for you if he invites you to seek holiness in the consecrated religious life. And so, echoing Pope John Paul II, I say to all of our young people who are here today, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you hear the Lord calling you to consecrated religious life, generously, readily accept his plan for you. Being a religious priest, brother, monk, nun, or sister is such a glorious life. I can't even begin to tell you how glorious it is. It is such an amazing life of intimacy with Jesus. So if you hear the Lord's call, do not reject it. Respond with that perfect obedience of Mary and Joseph, who do everything the Lord tells them. Be it done unto me according to thy word.